I will be reading today from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 in the New Testament. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Now, if you arise for the gospel reading, I will continue. And this reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.
When the Holy Spirit says clap, it's okay. When the Holy Spirit says sing, you can. When the Holy Spirit says pray. When your Holy Spirit says throw a tomato at your preacher, maybe twice. Think about that. This week, we continue our sermon series, Reboot 2019. And you may recall, we started with listening to what the Magi had to say about rebooting our faith, our relationship with God. Last week, somewhat remotely, we rebooted our health by drinking hot chocolate with our family and watching a sermon from our homes. And this week, we'll talk about rebooting our work. Now, one of the first images of God in Scripture shows us a God who is at work, working for 6 days, making all creation, lovingly shaping the human creature and breathing life into it. I picture God whistling while God works. I don't know if God is a whistler, but I sort of suspect that he is. The Garden of Eden is the setting for Adam and Eve, the human creature that God has made, and they have work to do, tilling and keeping the garden, caring for the animals, even being fruitful and multiplying. Humanity, creating in God's image, is also made for work. But it's not work without limits. In Genesis 2, we read, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude, and on the seventh day God finished the work that God had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation." You may know that one of our Ten Commandments is to honor the Sabbath day. We are made for a cycle of work and rest. This is a sermon about work, not Sabbath keeping, but I plant it here as a seed among you, because it might be that God is calling you to reboot your work by reclaiming your Sabbath. Turning to work, though, we all know from experience there is good work, that after you're done, you feel that good tired. There's good work, there's good labor, and there's also laboring for that which does not satisfy, as it says in Isaiah 55. There's this kind of work. There's good labor and there is forced labor, as when Pharaoh forced the Israelites into slavery and then made their toil worse, forcing them to make bricks without straw as a punishment for becoming too much of a threat. I submit to you that God's intention for our work life is not to make bricks without straw. And when you start thinking you might be working for Pharaoh, it might be time to find another job. As we reboot our work, for many of you, this is the year that you retired. Well done, good and faithful servant. Or the year you got your first job. Or perhaps it is the year you were furloughed for way too long. May it end soon. Perhaps, though, for our purposes, we can define work more broadly than just what we do for money. Maybe we can broaden it to mean all the things we do to make meaning in the world. As Christians, we affirm, as it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, God made us all in Christ to do good works. And the work of a Christian looks like service. It looks like love of God and love of neighbor. It looks like bearing with and washing feet. So maybe 2019 is a good year to rededicate ourselves to some work of ministry, some act of service, whether that's here in the church for Christ or out in the world for Christ in the name of the church. And one of the things God gives us to do our work is something called spiritual gifts. These are the things that Paul is talking about in his in the part of the letter to Romans that was read today. Spiritual gifts. Sounds great, doesn't it? Who among us doesn't want to be gifted? Better, stronger, faster, special? Yes. Spiritual gifts, bring them on. I hope I get a good one, though. Maybe spiritual gifts are like the Harry Potter sorting hat, you know? Will I get a Gryffindor gift? Like, that would be awesome. I'm really more of a Ravenclaw kind of person, probably in my inner being. Not Slytherin. I don't need any Slytherin spiritual gifts. And if I were being honest, maybe not Hufflepuff. No offense to the Hufflepuffs in the house. Is that what spiritual gifts are? Is it like hitting the jackpot? No. Paul reminds us that spiritual gifts are not a contest. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit designed to make the body of Christ work together better. They call them spiritual gifts because you get them from the Holy Spirit as a gift. Get it? They're just one example of the many ways that the Holy Spirit will mess with you after you're baptized. Little Emma, let's be careful out there. You're doing something dangerous today. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came to rest on him, empowering him for his ministry, confirming his identity as God's Son. The Holy Spirit is the outer force field of God's action. If God is acting in the present, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in baptism, as we will do today, we invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit and ask that the Holy Spirit work within the person baptized that they may live according to the example of Christ. So if a person is a Christian, they have spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit has contaminated them, okay? They're ruined for anything else. We all have gifts that the Spirit gives. And to brag on those gifts is like bragging because God sent sunshine, or a baby bragging because a parent loves them unconditionally. Spiritual gifts don't start with us at all. They're all God's idea. You all know that spiritual gifts are not a reward for past service. They're not some kind of Christian merit system. They're given to be used for the common good, to be a blessing, to build up the body of Christ, to advance God's agenda in the world. They are meant to be used by us to make God's dream for the world real. The Holy Spirit is what makes the church more than just the PTA or the Moms Club or the Rotary Club. The Holy Spirit is the thing that works in the church to help us be more Christ-like together than we would be on our own. Spiritual gifts are just one small part of all that the Holy Spirit gives us. And Paul's list is not an exhaustive list. There are other lists in the Bible, and they're not exhaustive either. There would never be an exhaustive list because we're all unique creations given these gifts. They're diverse, but they are all needed for the body to work together. We need all the spiritual gifts to work the best. You know, before I was a pastor, I was a lawyer, and at the ripe old age of 24, Eric and I joined our first church as adults. We've always been churchaholics, so we were ready when the pastor called. We were like, please put us on committees. We are ready to serve, whatever you want. Yes, yes, yes. So the pastor turns to me and says, what do you want to do? I said, I know I'm an attorney, but I have a real passion for worship, planning it, helping with it, serving communion. She says, you can join the choir. I said, cannot sing. She said, we don't have any openings on the worship committee. So you're a lawyer, go be a trustee. As I sat in her office, I thought I heard the Holy Spirit chuckle just a little. I was super glad to be a trustee, don't get me wrong. I had nothing to contribute. So the only thing I could do was take the minutes. That's the only skill. My idea of handy is like getting the cycle right on your dishwasher the first time. Regular. Yes. When we are operating in an area of ministry, in the area of our gifts, and if you have a job in the area of your gifts, you are doubly blessed. We tend to be energized by the activity. Sure, it's hard. Sure, it's frustrating. That's why they call it work. If it weren't frustrating, they'd call it play, and we wouldn't get paid for it. That's also, church can also be frustrating too. But people with a gift for teaching find teaching to be generally life-giving, not life-taking. People with a gift for administration enjoy making systems run smoothly, making the numbers come out right, very satisfying to them, and very good for the body of Christ. People with a gift for healing or presence have a way of being able to listen and be with someone. Ministries we love to do, others would not be gifted in, and vice versa. My favorite example of this is a fellow named Herb Bathgate. Many of you know Herb. He was an usher captain here for like 11,542 years. And we were coming out here to break ground on this very building that you are sitting in. And by break ground, I mean like with a shovel, okay? It was like a hill. They had to set up a tent and a whole lot of folding chairs on the new property. And just so you get a vision, we're talking porta potties. Got it? Okay. And we called the paper. And nobody had thought, how do we get the people who are somewhat mobility challenged up to where the tent was? Nobody thought about that. So we're like, anyway, and I was not, did I mention that it was raining? That's a key part of the story. And I don't mean like a gentle little rain. I mean a monsoonal rain. And I was not in a great mood because I was trying to get the soundboard plugged in without being electrocuted. And I was really mad that God would send this weather when we were clearly working so hard at something he thought up in the first place. So I was standing at the edge of the tent in the back, and I thought about how grateful I was that I was not an usher, that I didn't have to set up all the chairs or the big tent. So I was standing next to Herb, the usher captain. So I assumed the usher pose. Herb, meanwhile, was in his 80s, wearing a suit in the pouring rain, sharp as a tack. I said, Herb, I just want to thank you for coming out here in this terrible weather, setting up all these chairs, and what a pain it must have been. And Herb looked at me, and his eyes twinkled. He looked like Santa Claus. And he said, oh, Mandy, this is the best day ever. what a wonderful day. Look at this. Look at all the people that God has sent, and I get to greet them. I get to welcome them. I get to make everything ready for them. Ushering is wonderful. It's better than eating cake. I learned a lesson that day about spiritual gifts. Now, you know, every minute of ministry is not better than eating cake. Every minute of work, not better than eating cake, even for Herb. But life-giving most of the time. Ushering was life-giving, energizing, not draining, using the gifts that we have so that the light of Christ shines through us, so that folks will see our good works and give glory to God in heaven. You know, we believe here that if we are blessed, it is so that we can be a blessing to others. That's our work here at Glenmar. Many times you don't know you have a gift until you try it. Many times gifts are obvious to other people, but not so much to us ourselves. And when gifts come together, that's when things get really exciting, because they're meant to be used together in community. That's why there's no ministry that's just one person's alone. Nothing we do here is my ministry. Everything we do here is our ministry. One person can do many good things, but a team working together can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if you want to see what Glen Martians can do together in the name of Christ, I encourage you to come to this place in 24 hours. And it doesn't just happen at church. Wherever you are, wherever you work, whoever signs your paycheck, you are called to use your gifts for God's glory in the place where you are sent. We are all part of the body of Christ in the world. We are a light that lights our world in the name of Christ. On this weekend, where we honor the ministry and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., surely we can see and celebrate what one man did as his work for justice. He may have said, "I have a dream," but he was not the only one with that dream. God used Martin's gifts to build up a movement to mobilize millions of people to change what some promised on a stack of Bibles, no less, would never, ever change. And look what God did. Martin could have used his gifts for his own ego. He could have been a rich public speaker. The man had game. Listen to him talk. He's amazing. He could have been spared an assassin's bullet if he just would have kept his light under a bushel. But he refused to do that, and he said he would be a drum major for Christ. He said injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And look what God did with his gifts. Just think what God can do with your gifts and with mine. And if we put our gifts together, look what could happen then. I wonder how we, together, could light our world in the name of Christ this year. Dr. King reminds us, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve, for which I'm grateful. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. And those are gifts God gives us all. In 2019, church, do more than just resolve. Reboot.